We wa.
Why can't you do that before I start recording?
Because maybe you'll leave it in sometime.
I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
This is a big moment. Welcome to show 10.
They fly.
My name is Chris.
I'm so scared. I'm Hank.
But we are My Mac Guys. Hello, Henry.
Hello. Oh, so calm and reposed.
Yes.
On our 10th broadcast. What? Maybe we should give something away.
Time for a contest. And yes. We'll have to record that sound and use it later. That's going to be a regular sound on the show. We have available to the first caller that Skypes us live an official interactive Hank t-shirt, a 100% cotton swag t-shirt designed by our buddy Hank.
With images lifted from the Library of Congress artwork archives.
What's that where that's from? It's like the icon. It looks like a worker.
It's a beautiful woodcut of a miner. Which I just like the idea of somebody constantly mining away at their world. So,
and I will officially go to bat by saying that we will send this t-shirt anywhere in the world at no cost to our listeners.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Our Skype line is currently open, and we changed our recording time a little bit, but we posted the information on our blog site. All information on how to contact us is available at the end of this broadcast.
And so for the next, I'd say, 10 shows, the first Skype gets the t-shirt.
Copy that.
All right.
Okay, what are we doing? What are we talking about right now? This show 10.
This show 10 is officially the iPhoto Adobe Photoshop All Digital Extravaganza show.
It's the face-off, the rock'em sock'em robots of digital photography.
Yeah, and Hank and I both are heavily into digital photography, both of us having spent many years fooling around with film and caught the digital bug like everybody on the planet Earth. And one of the funny things that comes up for Hank and I is that I'm constantly defending the simplicity of iPhoto counter to the
complexification is the proper use of the word.
The complexification of Photoshop. And even though I know that Photoshop is to be revered, I have a little bit of an issue with the overcomplication of that program. But that's really something we'll get into as we talk about how we use these programs.
I want to get into it right now with you, my friend.
I knew you were coming at me.
I don't want to wait around for any kind of pleasantries.
Okay, I saw it coming.
I mean, I'm you know, it's just all true. I mean, the fact is that, and I mean, what stuck in my mind recently was that you made a comment to me over the phone about how you wanted to be shown. This is what you said. You said you needed a 10-minute lesson on a reintroduction to using layers in Photoshop, and that got the hairs on the back of my neck sticking straight.
And boy, did I know it did! I could tell right away. I got the lecture.
You got the
Photoshop lecture.
The Photoshop lecture. And what I want to say now is that I totally hear what you're saying, and I have felt that way for the last 7 years. Your need to want to know Photoshop is that's the truth, and that's what, and you should have that truth. What made me kind of rear up is my frustration with the fact of how difficult it is to get to that place. I mean, I feel
it wasn't frustration with me.
Well, it was.
I thought it was.
No, okay. Inadvertently it was.
Okay.
But in retrospect, what I know is that in the 7 or 8 years that I've been using Photoshop, I think since version 4 or something like that. You know, I bought the books. I tried to do the tutorials, and none of it helped. You know, it's so hard to learn. And you know, consequently, the program itself has streamlined a lot over those years to make it more user friendly. But I wouldn't say simplified. You know, so it was a confluence of things, which was my greater understanding of the program and its growth rate being just better defined over time. But the actual truth is that it took me 7 years to be able to say, I'm going to open up this digital photograph and I want to mask this out and lay it on this different background, and I'm going to, you know, lay some fonts up here in the corner, but I want to make sure that the drop shadow doesn't, you know, obscure this person's face, and I want, and
then so I'm, you're saying 7 years to get to this point?
Yes.
Okay, and what I would like...
With confidence.
All right, understood. And I would like to say that if Apple had designed Photoshop, that their target time would have been 7 minutes to be able to have a first-time user be able to do some very simple things. Like my it all came for me with Christmas collages. I actually tried to make a collage, you know, the thing where you put the Eiffel Tower behind the family, even though we've never been to Paris.
Sure.
I just wanted some very basic collage elements for humor. I could not do that in Photoshop without a book, a manual, and even when I had accomplished a couple of these things, very poorly done.
Right.
And what I wanted to... There was a product called Kai's Photo Soap that came out for a while, and even though it was buggy as hell, it was sort of trying to say, you don't need to... We know what you want to do. We mm-hmm. know you want to have a blurry background, and it had some pretty basic buttons. So if Apple comes out with iPhoto, let's face it, out of the box, and I have clients who literally are getting it out of the box, they can do very basic... More than basic. They can take the red eye out of a photo without reading a manual. They can straighten a picture now in the new version without a manual. They can color correct without a manual. And in Photoshop, I don't think you can do any of those things without a manual. I mean, well, easily.
Right. I mean, I think...
There's no button in the interface that's simple.
Well, the only thing I'll say is that...
I love...
Photoshop Elements, that's what they did.
And no, people they did not.
And people, there's a one-button click for red eye in Photoshop Elements.
Your point is taken on that. But Photoshop Elements, if you open it up for the first time, looks a hell of a lot like Photoshop.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not that...
I mean, what I was going to say, because I agree with you, you're absolutely right. I think what... The truth is, like, what's underneath the hood is the way I look at it.
Okay.
Photoshop is the Final Cut Pro of photography.
Yes, it is.
It wants to take over every single scrap of free space on your computer
as a
scratch disk.
Right.
It wants to use, if you have, you know, I have a gig of RAM in my PowerBook.
Yeah, so do I.
And I'm saying, like, that's okay for Photoshop.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm running 17 other applications, it's fantastic. But for Photoshop, it's okay. You know, it's like, it's not
right.
anything amazing.
Never
I'm
enough.
Not, I'm not powering through filters or anything like that.
Right.
I'm waiting like everybody else is. It is the most powerful photo editing and controlling software application in the world on any platform.
Okay.
It just is. So I think that's just a fact. And we should leave it alone that it's not, there's no such thing as like being able to open up Photoshop and just navigate through it. It's never going to happen. iPhoto is what your whole point is, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying that there's a possibility that with Apple's newfound kind of energy and you know, their ability to ramp up stuff so quickly, if they push hard enough, they might be able to get iPhoto to a place where it's never going to be a competitor to Photoshop.
And you know why? I secretly believe that they've had such a great relationship with Adobe that secretly I think they don't want to offend Adobe. And they know, of course, they could make it a better competitor to Photoshop. And I think they're skirting that issue out of in a kind of a gentleman's agreement. Let's not get too much into your territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that the latest version, which is iPhoto 5, has got some very great controls. Like I, for example, use a camera that uses the RAW format, which allows complete mm-hmm. control over the original image,
right.
which previously was only available in Photoshop. Suddenly, iPhoto 5 allows you to deal with RAW photos. Let me tell you, right then and there, I could almost say that I'm not going to spend the time to learn Photoshop, given that I'm a hobbyist. I'm not going pre-press. I'm not sending out the...
Right. Well,
you know.
But that's... You know, you're absolutely right. And I think that the only thing that... You know, I don't know where... Because I made a commitment to know Photoshop, you know, I use Photoshop actually like Illustrator, in the sense of I use Photoshop as a graphic layout program.
Yeah, I know you do.
You know,
right.
I make cards for people, and the, you know, the Mac, my Mac guy's logo, and the, you know, meet Don McAllister. That's all Photoshop to me, because
right.
I need to control layers, I need to add fonts, and I need to control each layer's saturation and all that. You know, manipulate the the photographs in the layers.
Right.
So it's a funny thing. I think a lot of people do this, but I've read many discussions of Photoshop saying, "Oh, wait a minute! It's not intended to be a graphic layout program.
Mm-hmm.
It's not InDesign or Illustrator, both Adobe products.
Yeah.
So it is. You know, its power is in digital photography.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's a funny thing. iPhoto, I don't think should never be a graphic layout program, because then you're asking it to do too much.
Well, it's over for them anyway, because iWorks came out. And as far as I'm concerned, they just blew away, the simplicity factor.
Right.
Without one look in a manual, I could lay out a newsletter that looks as good, if not better, than someone who makes a profession mm-hmm. out of newsletter design.
Right.
It's just that mind-blowing. Here's what I think has to happen. You have Final Cut Pro, clearly a professional level editing tool, and now you have iMovie, which says a lot of the power of the pro thing with all the ease of someone who doesn't have time for that. Adobe Photoshop needs to come out with Adobe Dodo Shop, a version, not Elements, something completely mellow for somebody who says, I have some needs, but let's take the first five things that most of us want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of special effects
mm-hmm.
and have that be this stupid, happy version.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, an alarm goes off that says, by the way, you've now crossed over into professional needs. You now need to learn a little more. Boom. And it's not happening.
By the way,
I'm not the target audience, I guess.
Right. Well,
I mean, I'm not the target user. Maybe that's what it's about.
I don't know who is, because I know I get a lot of calls from people that want to do more, but they open up Photoshop and they sit there dumbfounded as to it's just an overwhelmingly complicated looking, not complicated looking, it is an overwhelmingly complicated program.
And not to plug my own work, but I have a Photoshop for the first time ever, a photo show of my work. Hanging in a restaurant right now. No thanks to Photoshop. Mm-hmm. All thanks to iPhoto. If not for iPhoto, I would not be showing photographs today. I couldn't do it.
That's an amazing, kind of example of the kind of what we wanted to talk about, which is that, not only does it point up the different ways that we work in computers, but I mean, let's just slow down and see what you just said. I mean, you're an amateur photographer because you're not a professional.
I don't make a living from photography.
Right.
So, yeah.
But you take beautiful pictures. You decide to print up a bunch of them. And like through a course of just very simple encounters, all of a sudden you had a show hanging at a local gallery in the Pacific Palisades in California.
A restaurant. Yeah.
And you sold some images.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, it's not only about, so he put some pictures on the wall. Some complete strangers are going to own your work.
Yes.
So you don't need to say any more about it. It doesn't matter where they came from, what software you used.
Yes.
In terms of like, that's the reality of what's out there. I would do that project and I would only do it in the most, I would go out of my way to make sure I was doing it all in like the quote, most professional manner. But I don't have that show up on the wall yet. And you do.
Oh, well.
And I think that part of what, and I'm not saying that I won't. I'm just saying that you used iPhoto and that helped you get it done and it worked. And here's the proof. Here's you don't have to like your photography or not, but it's sitting there on a wall. And I just think that's an amazing example of
I come from a darkroom background. And if in the past, I think it really was born out of the fact that I have so many images that nobody will ever see because of the amount of energy that would go into printing in a dark room and getting an image I was completely happy with, and with the digital world and on these two products, and I'm going to say one product for me, iPhoto, I was able to finish the process.
Okay. Well, I think that's...
Let's finish this topic.
That's really... No, I think that's really cool. I mean, the only thing I'll add about, there is so much software out there relating to digital photography and manipulating digital images. I did want to say one thing, which I think is just, it's almost another subject, which is, because this happens a lot with shareware, is that I was introduced to this piece of shareware called Pixel Enhance, which is just Pixel, P-I-X-E-L, N-Hance, with an N and H-A-N-C-E. If you Google it, what you'll find out is that the software is no longer made. And if you go to the website of Caffeine Software, it actually apologizes for the fact that the software is not available. The reason why I mention it is because I've seen Pixel Enhance on the computers at the Apple stores.
It's wild.
And I've seen it many other places. People saw that this was a really powerful, simple tool. All that it does is allow you to control the three things you really want to control in a digital photography, you know, digital photograph: the levels,
right,
the contrast, and the color balance. That's all it does. So you put an image into it, you set your levels, you pick your color, you know, you adjust your contrast and your color balance, and then you save as.
Right.
And I just thought it was interesting that everybody, like professionals, want it, and it's on a lot of computers out there, and yet you can still find it. But the company that made it doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And it makes me wonder that maybe the product is good, but somebody handling the marketing.
Right. Well,
and watching shows like The Apprentice, you can see that you really can't succeed without everything being in place. You know, great idea is not enough for success.
No, it's interesting.
You know?
It's interesting.
So that would be considered your widget, but you had something else to talk about.
I have a widget, which I do think it's photography related, and I love it. And I went to the website, developing website of this company today, and there's a lot of stuff there worth checking out.
What's it called?
It's called Quick Image CM. So if you string together Quick Image CM, two words plus CM, and you Google it, you'll get to this website. And it is it's a hacksy, and I know that's a new word for us, and it's kind of
a new word for me.
It's a new word for you, but I actually. It's in the widget category, and a hacksy, this is the definition of a hacksy, which I found online, is formed from the combination of the words hack and Mac OS. A hacksy is a hack specifically designed for use with the Mac OS operating system. So it's basically in the past...
Wait, how does SE end up with OS X? Why isn't it called the Hackox? I'm serious. They didn't even explain that to me.
We'll have to go over to...
Please go over that again.
You want me to?
Yeah, I'm serious. I don't get it.
What do you mean?
I got the first part.
Oh, I don't know.
How does SEC relate to OSX?
No, it's HAXIE. Hacksy.
That's why.
Because I should have said that first.
Thank you.
Anyway, hacksies are widgets. Hacksies are system extensions. Hacksies are tweaks for your system. In the past, under OS's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, this would be major trouble and things that I would run away from, though. I was going to say the other day that... When I used to start up under OS 9 and you would see all the system extensions loading one by one,
yes.
I got to the point where it took up 3/4 of my screen.
Yeah, I saw that happen on yours once. I was blown away by it.
And it was, every day was a battle to get, you know, to get a smoothly operating OS 9. Anyway, I don't experience that trouble with OS X anymore. So I'm not afraid to recommend a hacksy.
Right.
Even though it does actually... you know, configure with your system. It's actually going into your system and changing something a little bit.
And what does it do?
So Quick Image CM, it shows up in your contextual menus. That's what CM stands for, contextual menus, which means when you hold down the control key and you click on your mouse, a pop-up window comes up on your screen, which even at Mac OS system level has some things you can do through that.
Future show is actually, that's a... good tip I want to ask a little more about.
There's lot of stuff about contextual menus, which are really cool. It adds a contextual menu that allows you to open, view, resize, save as an image. But you don't open a program.
I see, right.
And it's
desktop level.
It's instant.
Right.
You just highlight a JPEG or a TIFF, any format, even a Photoshop saved format.
Mm-hmm.
And this contextual menu will open it up and give you a lot of powerful control over what to do to that image.
Pretty cool.
Which is really great for just fast.
It's free? You're not sure.
I'm going to find out right now and want you.
All right, I'll do my podcast of the week while Hank's looking that up online. My pick for podcast of the week is called Yeast Radio. Yeast as what you use in baking, but I don't think when you hear the description of this podcast, it refers to that exactly. And I'm going to read the description. I don't think there's any better way than what they've described themselves to explain this to you. Join Chicago's legendary outrageous drag queen, Madge Weinstein, as she tells her tales of her lesbian love affairs, goes on political rants, and makes phony phone calls. And I listened to a little bit of it, and what I liked about it more than the Well, what I liked about it was how completely oddball and niche this particular podcast is. I don't know if commercial radio would be ready for drag queen Madge Weinstein's lesbian love affair tales as a commercial show. But in podcasts, it fits the bill, and I guarantee she's going to... I think she's actually rated number 14, ranked number 14 on Podcast Alley. And even as I say that, I see the hairs on Hank's neck go up because we have a future show with hopefully a future show with the Podcast Alley creator, Chris McIntyre, to discuss things like podcast votes and whether they're necessary or whether they're fair or whether they should be abolished altogether. So that's my podcast of the week.
Gotcha. Not sure if I'll cue into it or not, but I am. I hope some of our listeners were and send some feedback. And don't forget about the T-shirt offer, because that's a standing offer.
Still standing.
And I just went to the website for Quick Image CM, and yes, it's a free little contextual menu.
And it is an extra large T-shirt.
Any size you want.
Oh, you got all sizes.
I got all sizes, baby.
All right. So if you're a toddler and you heard that, give us a call.
Okay.
All right, another show in the bank.
Over and out.
See ya.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around me. She loves me so, and I don't but show.
Coming up on show 11, we're taking it to the streets to find out if anybody knows what the hell podcasting really is.
I would guess that it, God, what is it? Podcasting.
There's no wrong answer.
I think it might have something to do with iPods, perhaps.
Wrong answer.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com.